Hey y'all, it's Rachel from Smarter Teaching, here to share a latte and give you all the tools you'll need to work smarter, not harder, in your classroom. Hi teachers, welcome to 2021. Feels like the same goddamn dumpster fire as 2020, am I right? It's February, and hopefully you have settled back into the groove after winter break, whatever school is looking like for you right now, whether you are back in person, whether you are online learning, hopefully not both at the same time. I cannot imagine that fresh hell. It sounds terrifying. And terrible is what I really meant. But I hope that you're back in the groove from after winter break, whatever you're doing, and that you're making progress with your students. I've always loved this time of year in elementary school because I feel like you're really starting to see those big jumps in student learning and understanding, which sort of makes it feel like you're doing something helpful and not just spinning your wheels all of the time. Because it's February, you are likely coming up to another round of parent-teacher conferences, which I am trying really hard to call family-teacher conferences because there's a lot of other people who could attend that conference other than a parent. So I'm trying hard to call them family-teacher conferences, but I'm likely to not get it right every single time. I have shared before, both on the podcast and on my blog, about how to use data to run your parent conferences. But today I just want to talk about the logistics of the actual family teacher conference. Back in my day, a decade ago, when I was first teaching, we scheduled our conferences by sending home letters where parents would cut off the bottom and send it back, like ranking their top three time slots. And then I was teaching middle school at the time. And so as a team, we would basically like look at all of the families, like when did they want to come in, who had siblings that we needed to account for. It was a huge project, but that's how we did it a decade ago. Now in 2021, there are websites that you can use that will basically take care of this for you, like SignUp Genius and Doodle. It's certainly a huge time saver to do that. Regardless of whether you choose to have your parents sign up digitally or manually, I would suggest reaching out to them initially 2 to 4 weeks before your conference days. And I would confirm time slots with them 1 to 1.5 weeks ahead of time. Once you've scheduled your conferences, you obviously need to prepare for them by making sure that you have accurate and current data, making sure you have your specific concerns that you would like to address ready. It's likely that parents will have theirs, and sometimes they're the same and sometimes they're not, and that's okay, but you should have the concerns that you'd like to address ready. And then beyond scheduling and preparing, I'm going to give you 5 tips today to make sure that actual physical conferences that you hold with families run smoothly. My first tip for family teacher conferences is to stick to your time slots. It takes one late adult to push your entire schedule off track. Sometimes adults who are coming are taking off work. Sometimes they're coming on their lunch break. Sometimes they're balancing multiple conferences for multiple kids. There are a variety of reasons why families need you to stick their conference to the allotted time, and you need them to stick to their set time also, because one conference running over can knock your whole schedule off. As the teacher, you need to make sure that your conferences fit into the allotted time, but also that you're not letting late families push off the whole schedule. So, for example, if you have 30-minute time blocks for your conferences, I would suggest planning to fill 25 of those minutes. The other 5 will likely be taken up with greetings, questions, kind of like small talk, and it gives you a buffer to still allow you to stay on time. Plus, also, there's no penalty if your conference allotted time is 30 minutes. If your whole conference is 22 minutes or 25 minutes, then you have a few minutes to catch your breath before your next conference. There's no rule that says you have to fill up every single second of the allotted time slot. I would suggest timers to make sure that you're staying on track within your conferences, but I would also be upfront with families
about that. Just say, you know, we have X amount of time to chat, and I'm going to set a timer so that we can make sure that we're wrapping up on time, because otherwise it can be a little weird when you, I assume it would be a timer on your phone when your phone starts making mind beeps, whatever sound yours makes when the alarm goes off. It can be a little awkward. So I would just make sure that you tell them at the upfront that that's what you're doing. And then on the opposite end, you should not extend a family's time if they're running late, because that can also wreak havoc with your schedule. And yeah, there are a lot of reasons why a family could be late for their conferences. Some are within their control and some are not. But I think that you need, again, to stick to your time slots, and you should let families know in your messaging before conferences that you won't be able to extend conference time slots. And if they are running really late, they can contact you personally and maybe find another time. This like physically running late is a touch less important if your conferences are virtual this year, via Zoom or Google Meet or whatever. But there still could be, families could still be potentially running late if both parents are trying to attend and they want to be together. Or, there's still a variety of reasons why families could be late. But I just think you need that messaging up front that you cannot extend time if families are running late. Because for the third time, it just takes one late family, one overextended conference to kind of ripple through the whole day. So really stick to those time slots and be clear with families up front that they have the allotted amount of time. Tip two for family parent conferences, for family teacher conferences, is to hang signs. Now hear me out here. This sounds like something that's only useful if you're having physical conferences, but I'll tell you how this also translates to virtual conferences. So putting up clear signs within your room and outside of your room allows families, as they arrive, to understand what they should do while waiting without having to interrupt you. It could be that you want them to wait outside your room. It could be you want them to wait in a completely different part of the school. But it's easy for these things to happen without your guidance if you have clear signs and directions created outside of your room. You can also have a sign that asks parents to knock at the time of their conference if you have not already come out to greet them. Creating clear signs with directions allows families to arrive and settle without having to interrupt you and have other conferences run late because you're trying to constantly communicate information about what people should do while they're waiting. So this sounds, I know, like something that you would only be doing if you're having physical conferences, but we will one day have physical conferences again. It probably will not be 2021 and it might not be 2022, but we will one day have physical conferences again. So hanging signs is important. While we are in the time of virtual conferences, I think that the idea of hanging signs still translates, right? So what you're really trying to do is be clear with families up front so that your conferences are running smoothly. So this might look like in a virtual conference telling, you know, maybe everyone has the same Google Meet link. So this might look like letting parents know not to sign in before their allotted time. So if they're ready at 12:28 and their conference time starts at 12:30, asking them not to log in until 12:30. It might look like letting your families know ahead of time that you can't, that they can email you questions ahead of time so that if they have like a significant concern that might need some additional, not research, but like you might need some time to find the answer for them, they can let you know that ahead of time so that you don't have to tell them you don't know during the conference. So just the virtual version of hang signs is be clear up front with families so that they know what to do at the time of their conference. Tip number three is create a welcoming space. Having things like small waters available, asking families to find a recent work sample of their child in, for example, a larger folder or something like that can create a more welcoming and relaxing space for families. I used to set out a table that would have some children's books and puzzles, coloring sheets and crayons for families while they wait just outside of my classroom. And then, like I said, a case of like just small little waters that they could sip while they wait. It was like a minimal cost and time setup, but it really paid off in setting the tone of the conferences. Again, these are things that sound like you can only do if you are meeting physically. However, I think that you can virtually also create a welcoming space by, for example, sending a photograph of a recent work sample of their child to families in advance, by letting them know if children are welcome to attend the conference or if you would prefer that it just be adults. I just think letting kind of taking the tension away from the conference is helpful, because sometimes I think that families can be intimidated by teachers. And of course, teachers can also be intimidated by families. Like, it's a two-way street. But I just think that we should work to create a welcoming space for our families during conferences. So like I said, if you're having physical meetings, that can look like having work samples, having things for available for children to do, having like a small drink or snack available for families while they wait. All of those things just kind of lower the stakes and make it feel like a more collaborative and welcoming space. Okay, teachers, tip four is consider activities for younger siblings. And I'm totally here to tell you that this is for sure something that's only really relevant for physical conferences. younger siblings can sometimes be a necessary evil during conferences. When I taught in DCPS, conferences were during the school day. So there was no school. And often if parents were coming, they were taking time off of work and didn't always have an alternative daycare or childcare option. So sometimes the younger siblings, like I said, were a necessary evil during conferences, but they can be really distracting if parents didn't bring something for them to do. So when I was teaching first grade, I would just try to pull out like one bin of toys that we would use like for indoor recess, that kids of a variety of age could play with generally independently during conferences. I think that usually when I was in my classroom, it was a big bin of Duplos. I would just bring it out and set it on the carpet during conference times. And generally that was enough to keep any students, like any first graders who would have come with their family, and also usually younger siblings as well. I don't have a virtual version of this tip. Sorry, guys. I really think that younger siblings are only something we have to confront when, I'm not saying that younger siblings might not like be popping in and out of a virtual meeting, but that's not really, like they're in their home and they would hopefully have things that they could find to do. So younger activities for younger siblings is really only a relevant tip when we're physically meeting with families. And teachers, my last tip is stick to your agenda. This is like the opposite of tip one, sticking to your time slots. But parents need a time to raise their own concerns. But it is really easy to fall down a rabbit hole and get off track both in time and content if you let families lead. During conferences, I always make sure to start by saying that I will give families time to share towards the end, but that I have an agenda for us first. Generally, that kind of is mollifying and helps them feel like they'll have a moment to share concerns or air grievances. And then we continue with the content that I had originally planned. And then they have some time at the end to share or raise any concerns that they have. And it usually is a nice balance. Obviously this works virtually as well. You parents need a time to share their concerns, but you have to really be the leader of the conference and making sure that you're sticking to your set time and also the agenda that you have for the conference. Family teacher conferences are a really important tool for us to share data with families. It's important that we're respectful of their children, it's important that we're respectful of their time. These tips helped me run conferences smoothly when I was actively teaching in the classroom, and I think that they should help you too. I hope that you enjoy connecting with your families during this conference season. And if you have any other questions, you can feel free to fill out my contact form on my website, rachelwilser.com, WILSER, or you can find me at Instagram, Smarter Teaching, all one word. If you thought this podcast was helpful, I would love for you to subscribe wherever you're listening, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, something else besides Spotify or Apple Podcasts. And you can follow along for more teacher tips on Instagram at Smarter Teaching. I will see you in 2 weeks to talk about the books I've been reading this month. See you then. Bye.